following is a presentation of CruiseAddicts.
This is John Schaub, CruiseAddicts, and I'm here with Randy Warren. He's the media director for CruiseAddicts, and we had a chance to actually take our first cruise together aboard the MSC Seaside, and it was a great time. And we're going to go over a few things, and actually I'm going to ask Randy exactly what he thought of the cruise. So Randy, thanks for being here.
Thanks, John. It was a fun time.
What made you book the MSC Seaside?
MSC is a line we've been hearing a lot about, and it's been exciting to see what they've done with the amount of ships that they're pushing out, and the excitement around their brand, and to go and experience Seaside. Several years ago, we did Divina. Seaside was really neat, and it's going to be kind of cool to talk about it.
So the ship is in Port Miami, right?
You sail out of the Miami port and go into either the Western or Eastern Caribbean with some pretty good destinations, and you get a sea day, you know, somewhere sandwiched in between there. We had two on this itinerary.
So back it up a little bit. How did you make your way down to Miami?
Well, we're fortunate because we live on the west coast of Florida. So we hop on the interstate and we go across Alligator Alley and we're in Miami. A lot of options for parking. We took advantage of an offsite parking, which is something a lot of people need to consider if you don't want to pay as much parking. You don't want that convenience of being right at the port. So we parked offsite and we embarked on a Saturday afternoon, early Saturday afternoon, enjoyed a lot of time on board the ship. Didn't sail out of Miami until about 7 p.m. that night. Weather was outstanding, just beautiful sky, got some good sunset pictures. And that's what everybody wants when you're sailing away from a beautiful city like Miami and you have that long stretch going all the way out to the beach and then turning right into the Atlantic Ocean. If that doesn't get you excited for your cruise, then you probably shouldn't be cruising.
Exactly. Previous to this cruise, I always parked at the port itself because when I looked online, the reviews are really, really bad as far as if you use this service or offsite service, you could, you know, come back to a messed up car. So you actually had a tip about parking. So could you cover that for our listeners?
We did. We went online and we read a lot of reviews. And we used a company, Premier Parking, I believe. Global Parking is the larger company, and they do parking at airports and a lot of different places, cruise ports in particular in our case. And it requires a little bit of patience because you do have to wait for a shuttle bus. We were in a covered garage, felt very safe. I thought it was very easy to get in and out, very, very well explained by the staff. And then we rode the shuttle right over to the ship.
And what type of discount compared to, I think parking at the port was $22 a night. And do you remember exactly what the price was, the difference?
You can get offsite parking for about $7 a day. So I think it was around 60 some bucks at the end of the week.
Yeah, I mean, it was a major, major discount. And I even used like a coupon code, and I think it was $5.99 a night.
Yeah, you didn't tell me.
Yeah. It was like, wait a minute. It was like, well, you booked it first, so
you're holding out on me, John.
Yeah.
You got a coupon code, and now you're telling me about it on the podcast.
It's a true story here. It was like $5.99 a night, but, you know.
What a friend.
Yeah, you could. It was great though. It was like it was a.
You know what?
Yeah,
you buy the next round.
So we get to the port. The parking's great. We save like $1 million and we take the shuttle bus over. I know I dropped off my family because my wife packs like 10 bags and I didn't want to like burden. I didn't want to have like a whole van load of luggage just for us and expect them to take it over. So I go right to the port. I drop them off curbside and then I drove right to the parking garage and then took the shuttle back. So here we are. We're at the port. The porters have taken the luggage. How was your embarkation for you?
I think that MSC and really all the cruise lines are doing a much better job of moving that many people through. You go through security check and you have to be prepared for that. It's like going through an airport, but a little less. I mean, you don't have to completely disrobe. I think I did have to take my belt off, but you don't have to take shoes off and all that kind of stuff. You know, they just do a little bit of security. Then the actual getting our cruise card and taking our picture and doing all that kind of stuff went pretty quick. I, I think we got pretty much on the ship in about a half hour or less.
Yeah, it was really, really quick. There was, so what did you think of the new Terminal F? Obviously, there's been a big change, the brand new terminal since MSC Divina when you last visited. What did you think of it?
It has a much more personal feel for each of these cruise lines and MSCs. You felt like you were in the MSC building as an extension of their ship before getting on the ship. And it wasn't like a bus terminal, you know, Grand Central Station. And we've experienced that in the past with other cruises. I thought the embarkation process was really good. And before you know it, you're right there in the atrium and you're enjoying a drink and you're like, wow, this is exciting.
So now you're on board. What's your first impressions of MSC Seaside?
You get the wow factor, really, with all of MSC ships from what we've seen. Just magnificent style, design, the flair, you know, for the very glamorous feel to a ship. You get that when you come into the atrium, as I think you should on any ship. Now, that's your first impression. And then as you start working your way into the various levels and the different areas, there's a continuation of that.
And what type of cabin did you book?
We were in on a veranda. I'm trying to remember if this was considered a deluxe cabin. I don't remember. But, you know, very nice, certainly adequate for what we needed. And we were on level 10. I like that, being that we weren't too far to the top, or maybe you got a little bit more noise from some of the deck activities that were going on by the pool and that kind of thing. I thought it was good. It was a good place to be. I've always preferred to be sort of in the middle of the ship and not all the way to the top or the bottom. So you're sort of right where you're going to feel the less amount of movement, which we didn't experience any of that on the size of the ship and the beautiful weather that we had. But a very, very comfortable, very adequate stateroom.
I like the little features where you could put the do not disturb and make up my room buttons rather than putting the stuff on the door like the old days. We had gotten some armbands where you could buy them for $5. And rather than have your sign and sale card, you could just walk up to the door and boop, it would open up the door. And then you could also buy drinks and things like that. So that was a pretty cool feature.
Yeah, I mean, your cruise card, which is the way it's been for a few years now, much like in a hotel. I mean, that's your currency. That's your ID. That's everything you need. And this addition of using the armband is nice too, because it's got all that information in there. Now, if I left my key back in my room, which, you know, you have to use to keep the power on in your room and all that, if you happen to walk out, you probably could still, you know, manage to go and do something on board, you know, whereas if you leave your key card, you know, and you can drop that out of your pocket, and you're seeing people lose those constantly. So having the armband is nice, really is.
Yeah, I'm definitely guilty of, I don't know if it's old age or whatnot, but I lost my cruise card on my, not this sailing, but a previous one. So my wife was very happy to give this old guy a little like a watch. So I couldn't get lost, you know, but it was nice. You didn't have to have anything in your pocket or anything like that. So, but I don't think you never got the armband thing.
You know, I didn't, because I'm responsible and I don't lose my cruise.
And you're youthful, aren't you?
Much younger. Yeah. Yes. Well, at least, well, I think I am. I look younger.
So now let's get to really the really, really most important question I'm going to ask you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. What do you think of the food?
There are a lot of options with MSC. You have your restaurants, and the menu is very international. And I think you know that going in. So I'm going to kind of be open-minded, and I'm gonna sample, you know, the duck or, you know, whatever's on the menu that night. I mean, a lot of Mediterranean flair. You know, there's a lot of pasta, you know, throughout the menu. And then the buffet is just always your fallback option. So if you looked at the menu that night and you didn't like what you saw, don't eat there. You know, go to the buffet. You've got two on this ship, you know, one on deck 8 and then another one on deck 16, I believe it was, the Biscayne Bay Cafe and then the World Cafe. And it was, is that right? I think it was the World Cafe. Was it the
Marketplace?
Marketplace. Marketplace. Yeah. I'm thinking of a, of another cruise ship we were on. And you've got this, you know, at times during the day, one buffet may be closed while they're restocking and you know, doing everything else. But you have those options. And then if you really, really want to do something special, that's why you have the specialty restaurants. And the Butcher's Cut and the seafood and the Asian specialty restaurants that are there, you know, it's good. There's plenty of variety on MSC.
Yeah, we did the teppanyaki the first night. They had a 20% off, which is pretty significant for the first night. So there was people on board when we first got on board said, if you book it tonight, we can give you 20% off, which for a family of four was a pretty good discount. And then, so we love teppanyaki. So it was a great experience for us. Which ones did you go to?
We enjoyed Butcher's Cut, and we planned that about the fourth night or fifth night of the cruise. Just outstanding time. I would say it was our best meal on the ship.
So for those not knowing, what exactly is Butcher's Cut?
Butcher's Cut is a steakhouse, and you have the option of choosing what your cut is, as in a lot of steakhouses. So if you wanted the prime rib, if you wanted the filet mignon, if you wanted the ribeye, then there are things, and depending on the package that you buy, then you may get your choice of an appetizer, you know, the steak and the sides that you want and your dessert. If you wanted to go a little bit beyond that, then you can get the really prime steak, which is going to be the ribeye, the best thing they had on that, as I recall. But very good. You know, it's just outstanding.
That kind of brings up another point offer we make for our listeners is not only did this specialty restaurants have like a priced fixed menu, kind of what you're talking about, if you pay like $39, I think it might have been, for like the steakhouse, you can get your choice of an appetizer, a soup, salad, and you could pick from like three different areas, including the entree. But then also you could kind of break off from that if you wanted to, either upgrade things or just go full a la carte. And that's what really was so different, because normal specialty restaurants, it's just you pay X number of dollars and you can either pick from the menu. This was kind of like a lower price in some cases, but you could also get some really extreme and much high end, like tomahawk ribeye for two, I think it was. It was like, you know, I mean, big price things and very, very elaborate menu. What do you think of that?
I like that. We stuck with the sirloin. I think I had the, I do not remember how many ounces it was. It was pretty good size. And it was outstanding. It really was, I would have to say, the best meal we had on the ship.
Yeah, I thought it was just unique. I mean, we're so used to, this was my first MSC cruise, and I was just so used to paying, okay, you go to the steakhouse on board, and you pay the cover charge for the adult, and you have your selection, and that's all there is. But all the specialty restaurants on MSC Seaside allowed you to have like a price fixed menu, and sometimes there'd be different tiers of it too, like the different options. But then you could also just go full a la carte. And like I touched on a second ago, you could even upgrade. So if you wanted to have a different starter other than the one that was listed, you could maybe get half off an a la carte one and all different combinations, or you could just go full a la carte, like I said, all as well. It was really neat. So you could make it what you want, and it truly was special. I always said specialty restaurants are truly special.
They are. And you know, it's a nice touch. I'm a real fan personally, as we've talked, of the all-inclusive. I really don't want to be nickel and dimed. I'd like to know that once I step on board that I don't need to think about, well, this is going to cost me extra. Is this in my budget? Because you're going to have enough of a bill at the end of the cruise anyway, and there's always surprises of things you forgot that you purchased. So a lot of people don't want to see that. But I didn't feel that at least it's very clear to you what you would be able to get at one price point. And then if you wanted to spend more, you certainly have that option. And so it goes back to, again, I think MSC is doing a good job of providing a lot of variety. And you can go as high as you want to go, whatever your budget allows, but you can still keep it pretty affordable with the fixed price.
Yeah, I thought it was a great value. And there was packages where you could go to three different restaurants, or you had your options with beverages and specialty restaurants. And of course, you didn't have to do that. But if you want to do that, if you want to partake and you want to have an extra special experience, a more inclusive experience, which is great because you don't have to think about anything, do you?
And they were doing deals, as I recall, throughout the week. So even as the cruise is going along, they may casually come up to you in the atrium or in one of the common areas and say, hey, if you're interested, we can bundle maybe a couple of things together. And you took advantage of that first night getting a really good deal. And there was things that were available for like the first 24 hours or something of the cruise. So they encourage you to pay attention to the deals that are out there. And if you play it right, then you can end up doing some nice things. And there were some brunch options as well that were available for the specialty restaurants. And I know some people that took advantage of that, and they said they really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I know the Butcher's Cut has a brunch on board. And I actually got a chance to see the menu because I did also go to Butcher's Cut as well. And I guess that's kind of like a secret. And I'd actually never went to the brunch because we actually were pretty busy during the cruise. But so many people don't realize that there's brunch in the Butcher's Cut that they don't partake in it. So you can actually have a really premium breakfast experience, or brunch experience to be exact, and have it to yourself.
And if you're one of these people who does not get off the ship in one of these ports, maybe because you've been there before, maybe you just had reasons where you just didn't want to disembark and go in port for the day. Take advantage of that, because now you're going to have that place really all to yourself. Sea days are going to be a little busier, obviously. So people that try to schedule a brunch or something like that on a sea day, get your reservations in early in the week, because you do have a lot of people on board that are all thinking the same thing. And most people are going to wait till the last minute. We procrastinate, especially on vacation, you know, in booking our shows or whatever we were doing. So if you decide, you know what, I've been in Grand Cayman enough. I don't want a tender as we had to. You know what, I'm just going to stay on board and go have a beautiful brunch and do some spa and some other things that I can do because I'm not fighting the crowds.
You know, and you kind of touched on just staying on board. And I've talked to a lot of people lately because, of course, you come back from a cruise, people ask you how it is. I'm calling them floating resorts. So you don't have to necessarily go in port. You can just enjoy the floating resort that these modern-day cruise ships are and just relax and make it a day of your own and not have to deal with the crowds maybe on a sea day where everybody's on board and trying to get everything in. You could just chill, you know. So going on to the ports, what ports did you visit?
On this itinerary, we were taking somewhat of what would be called traditionally a Western Caribbean cruise, even though you're also hitting some places along the east side. We cruised out of Miami and went directly. We had a sea day and then went to Ocho Rios, Jamaica, and pleasantly surprised that because of the time of year, we were not really fighting a lot of crowds. Jamaica, the north coast of Jamaica, it's just beautiful along there. We had an outstanding day. The next day, we were in Grand Cayman and went into Georgetown. And we had to tender because Grand Cayman doesn't have the docking facilities like some of these ports. Another beautiful day, good weather. And then from there, we were over to Cozumel, and beautiful weather, and Cozumel is an interesting experience, very popular port, and you can see why. And then we had a sea day, and then from there we went into Nassau. So we're really kind of back on the east side of the Caribbean, but it was a neat itinerary because it was a little bit of a triangle that we made, and it was good. We had sea days on both sides before heading back, and I like that.
So this was your first Western Caribbean cruise, because I know you were born in St. Thomas.
Yes, yeah. You know, I've been to different parts, you know, of Mexico on the mainland, but I had not taken this particular itinerary.
So what are your first impressions? I mean, would you do a Western Caribbean cruise again?
I would. I like this itinerary, and these are all, real safe things in terms of places that you would want to go? And when I say safe, I don't mean in terms of like security, but you can't really go wrong with Ocho Rios and the beaches and everything that you're doing there with that part of Jamaica. You have great opportunities for excursions, long list of things that you can do. You know, Grand Cayman is really kind of a sleepy, more type of port to come into. And, you know, you walked around, we found the town to be really not be that populated. We had a couple of ships in the harbor. I don't know why. It just felt like nobody was walking around. Maybe just the area that we were in. It was very peaceful. We enjoyed it. And then we were back on board in a couple hours. And Cozumel has so much to do. And, we went up the coast a little bit and spent a day at a resort. And then Nassau is Nassau. Nassau is always busy. Nassau's got traffic. It was a Friday afternoon, and we went over to Atlantis, and Atlantis is crazy, and there's a lot of people. I mean, it's good crazy in terms of just a lot going on, you know, with the slides and the hotel and the water park and all that stuff. But, you get a lot with this itinerary. I liked the way it flowed, and it was just good for us.
So are we going to tell them, the listeners, exactly what happened in Nassau?
In Nassau, when my wingman went off and left my wife and I at the hotel. Now, John, and those of you who know John and his personality, he started worrying that we were going to get left behind. So he basically left us behind, and we were still like on the lazy river at Atlantis. We got time, John. The ship is only like 5 minutes away. Well, more like 30 minutes away, but. So late in the afternoon, he's blowing up my phone and he's like, we had to go, man. And so my wife and I are just meandering back, caught a cab. We had plenty of time. And as it turned out, the ship didn't leave for another hour, but he was so worried we were going to get left. And of course, I had to give John a hard time about leaving us behind, because he could have waited. We could have all rode back together. But he's thinking, listen, if Randy and his wife get left behind, that's their problem. John and my family is not getting left behind. And you don't want to get left behind. That's a whole nother yeah. Podcast.
So here's the real story, folks. So it was like 10 minutes till 3, was it? Like 10 till 3. Boarding was at 3:30, yeah. Right? We're at the Aqua Adventure at Atlantis, which is a beautiful and it's not like a little water park, is it? It's 141 acres.
Oh, it's huge.
And so I found out later on, because we did have phone service there, that he was on the River Rapids by himself, which is like a mile long River Rapids. There's like 9 legs, I think,
yes.
Of the. So can you tell us about the true story now of what happened?
Well, the true story is when you're on the River Rapids, you can't really just jump off, because my wife was waiting for me all the way down at the beginning, which is the end, if you ride it the whole way. And she's got my flip-flops. And if you know anything about Atlantis, you got to walk on those sidewalks. I can't really just cut across a lawn. You're going to blister your feet. You can't. You know, I got to get my shoes. Well, anyway, we were losing a little bit track of time there, and I didn't realize it was going to take that long. But when we got back to the main pool where the Shallow family was supposed to be waiting for us, they were gone. They had packed up towels, everything gone. And I told Patty, I said, we got to go. She was losing track of time. She goes on into a pool. She goes, well, we just want to swim for a little bit. Now, my wife is usually very much more responsible than that. Than I am. And I said, we got to go, babe. So we ended up getting back to the front lobby of Atlantis. And I said, man, we need a cab to get back to the ship. And he goes, no problem, man, right over here. And we got in a cab and I told the guy, I said, I got 25 minutes to get back to MSC Seaside. He said, nah, don't worry about it. It is Friday though. You know, it's Friday afternoon, but we're cool, man. And, hey, we made it.
I noticed you used the word responsible right there. So I'm gonna take that as I was being responsible for as well. But
you were being responsible for your family, but at the extent of leaving your media director behind.
But it was a great time. That place was amazing, wasn't it? It was really amazing.
If you've never visited Atlantis, and if you don't have the pleasure of staying there, I did years ago, then you need to visit it just to see the hotel, the architecture, the landscaping alone. Now, how many palm trees are there? Like a million? I don't know. I'm exaggerating. I think I saw a stat one time. I thought it was like 2,000, you know, royal palms or some crazy thing. Don't quote me on that. I'm sure that's not the actual number. But just the amount of palm trees and the little ponds and the way the place is landscaped. And then it's a water park on top of that and the swimming pools. Atlantis is unique to anywhere, really, in the Western Hemisphere. And you should at least go over there for the day and walk around. It's something we'd highly recommend.
Yeah. Now, this was really unique for both of us because we had the opportunity to go to Aqua Adventure for the first time for both of us. And now I've been to Nassau, and you have been too, countless times, it seems like. But I've never been actually farther than the lobby at Atlantis. So all of a sudden, we're walking through there, and to get to the other side of the front facade and to see the beaches and the, like, I think it's 18 water slides, 11 pools and 141 acres and two river rides, not just one. You have a lazy river and a river rapids.
Yeah. And we rode them both. So when I said lazy river, we had done that earlier, and then we went back. And I wanted to experience this River Rapids because you said you had done it and you were scared and that you almost fell out and that you were very, very scared. And I said, well, if John got scared, I got to try this because I'm not going to be scared.
I was not scared, but I did almost fall off one time because like you're on the ride and it's like you're on the sixth of ninth leg. And all of a sudden it takes you up an elevator.
Yes.
And it's bringing you up this lift and then it shoots you down this little, you know, it gets faster and faster. And, I was doing pretty good until that one time. And so I almost fell off and I almost had an issue, but did you fall off? Is that why you were late?
No, I never fell out of the inner tube. I was just,
that's your story, right?
That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
So, Aqua Adventure Atlantis was amazing, and we were able to visit by using resortforaday.com. Really, really wonderful service. It was pretty awesome, wasn't it?
It is, and so many options of things that you can do when you're in some port to just be another added bonus to your cruise. Resort for a Day was a great idea, and we were just able to relax. We got good food, good drink, you know, good accommodations, beach, pools. So that's another great option. You may not hear about that on your ship or through your cruise line, but you know, do your homework, folks. Go online, and it's amazing what you can find of things you can do in all of these different destinations.
Yeah, it sounds a little cliche, but it was really beautiful, like paradise. I was like, wow, truly amazing. So, getting back to the ports, what if you had to pick one port that just blew you away, which one was it and what did you do there?
I was pleasantly surprised because of some things that I've heard people saying lately, but Cozumel would probably have been our favorite day because just everything was clicking. We had great weather. We were the only ship, well, at least in that one port. There were quite a few at the Carnival port, but it didn't feel overpopulated. I didn't feel overcrowded. I like the way they move you kind of right through that mall right there when you get off. Then we went to this resort, Allegro, you know, a little further up the coast. And we had such an outstanding day there that I think that's why I think that was my favorite day. I just thought that it was all very well done.
Yeah, that resort was amazing. Another, it sounds cliche, but it really was like paradise there, wasn't it?
It is a slice of paradise. You from the time you get inside the resorts and the way that they're designed, and you walk right out and you can see swimming pools and these villas with the thatch roofs and the buffet that's right there in the middle, which they started serving at noon. And I think I went through twice. You went through about four times, I believe. There was You know, from just the appetizers to the main course to the desserts, then and then just a beautiful beach. And you're, it's very, very secluded in that you're not fighting like a lot of these beaches in some of these towns and places that you go. Very private feel to it. We just experienced incredible weather. And, you know, weather always has a lot to do with your opinion on any vacation that you take. And then when you think of a cruise, you know, you better have good weather. If you have bad weather, it kind of ruins everything. So weather was outstanding, and it wasn't overpopulated, which is a big thing for me. I love off-season and, you know, cruise in the off-season, folks. You know, you'll just enjoy it so much more.
Yeah, this was a May cruise. There wasn't a lot of kids on board. The weather was perfect. Obviously, we're sailing from Florida. But I want to touch on one more thing, though. So many people are worried about doing excursions that aren't provided by the ship. How is it using the service and on Cozumel? Because we booked an all-inclusive resort day through resortforaday.com. A lot of people are intimidated by doing something like this. And so you could, and even you had to book your own transportation there. So was that overwhelming? Was it, did it make you nervous or anything like that? And how was the ultimate experience?
You have to be careful, especially when you hear stories of people going off and, you know, being taken advantage of, or they're getting too far away from some of the touristy areas, and that can be dangerous. So use some common sense. You know, try not to be too independent and too adventurous when you're in a port. Do your research. Go online. Read reviews. We know resortsforaday.com is very well known, and just read the reviews on these, and so you feel pretty safe with that. The biggest question that we had was transportation in two of the places where we did this, where we didn't have transportation included in that resorts for a day. So we did our homework on what a cab should cost to get from the port to the resort and back. And we felt confident that we were dealing with local people that are having to follow a scale. There's regulation on that. Just be leery if you see somebody who doesn't look like they're really a cab driver. You know, I mean, you know, some countries have something equivalent to an Uber or a Lyft, and then some you may, you know, really be taking a chance. Just do your homework. Do your research in any port that you go into. We did. We knew what we were going to do, so there weren't these crazy surprises.
Yeah, it turned out to be a great experience. So on to our next question. How was the entertainment on board?
Entertainment on any MSC cruise, and I can say that from having done a few, is unbelievable. You feel like you are at a Las Vegas style show on the main strip, not on some back alleyway. So much entertainment in the cruise industry is subject to criticism because it feels like maybe it's just not as up to what you've experienced. If you've done Broadway shows, or, you know, you're used to seeing things produced by Hollywood, and you see things in Las Vegas or Atlantic City and a lot of places, you get the feeling they are not cutting any corners when it comes to their shows. They are full production shows that are not too long. They're only about, what, 45 minutes, if that? Some of them about 40 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, they weren't very long.
Yeah, 40 minutes. They do multiple performances in an evening, so everyone gets an opportunity to go. But they're adaptations to other well-known things. So they're kind of like a parody in a way, but it's a compliment to it. Acrobats, the vocals are very strong. Just the costumes, the set pieces, you really forget that you're on a cruise ship when you're looking at it. I could go on, and we could talk, you know, for a long time just about entertainment. It's probably, in my opinion, the thing that makes MSC stand out from most everybody else out there right now. I would say it's the best thing they're doing is their entertainment.
And I guess they did three shows a night, usually, for their, they'd have one main show, there'd be three shows a night, which was pretty spectacular, because the theater isn't super large. So you had to book it, you can actually book it through the app, reservation, you can make reservations. Was that a problem at all?
No, this app is phenomenal because you have all the opportunities, everything that's on your schedule. Then you personalize it by going ahead and reserving. I started reserving the shows a couple of nights out when we figured out what time we wanted to go. And we ended up kind of hitting a late show because of dinner and just our daily schedule. That was really nice. And so I didn't have to get there too early to fight for a seat as I have on other cruises where sometimes you get to the door and they say, sorry, folks, we're full. You just walked right up with your armband or your key card and they scanned it and you walked right in and you were able to find a seat.
Yeah, we got there like 30 minutes early and we pretty much had front row every night of the shows we went. We didn't go to one of the operatic shows because my daughters just weren't going to be interested in that. And that's one of the slams I've kind of heard about MSC about, well, they've got opera and we're not interested in that. But I'm with you. I mean, yeah, there was a little bit of a question mark when you see the reviews and stuff like that of some of the MSC cruises. But personally for me, the word I use is phenomenal because it just blew us away. It was just wow. And once those shows start, they come up with such a punch with all the different entertainment, the jugglers, acrobatics, I mean, all these specialty acts and stuff like that. It just was amazing.
I would compare it to Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, that was incredible. If we had to pick one show that you really, really enjoyed for the week, which one was it?
The Michael Jackson tribute on the last night.
Starwalker, right?
Starwalker. You know, the guy who's doing the vocals and the choreography, who is Michael Jackson in the show, was very good. You'll hear a lot of rave reviews of that show. And really everything that we saw that week, all seven shows were just really great. I didn't really have one I didn't care for.
Wonderful. And so we got to get to the end of the cruise now. It's the last day. How was disembarkation?
Disembarkation is the least favorite part of any cruise for anybody because your cruise is over. You don't want to go home. You get everything packed up the night before. You get your bags out there and you lay out just something to wear. You get up. I don't think anybody's in a great mood unless they really just hated this cruise and they can't wait to get home. You know, you have time to go and grab some breakfast or something unless you're catching a flight. You wait for your number to be called. And then you get off and then reality hits you when you're in the terminal and you're looking through thousands and thousands of pieces of luggage. We did have a little bit of an issue there. One of our bags was missing and I had to walk back and forth, you know, through to finally find my bag, which was kind of not in the right area. But I know those things can happen. They are moving a lot of luggage. We had a color yellow in the number one, I believe. And, you know, the one bag was not in that section. But, you know, then when you finally get out to the curb, we talked about offsite parking. Well, that's the downside to that is you better be patient because you're waiting for that van, shuttle bus to come back and pick you up. Other options that you can do, you can get an Uber or you can find a way to just get back to your offsite parking, pay a little bit more. But disembark is the is the part that I think most people find the most frustrating because it's the end of the cruise. You have to be patient.
It's kind of grumpy day, isn't it?
It kind of is. It's, you know, your vacation's over. It's like, wah, wah, wah. Yeah, and everybody just got their bill the night before.
Oh, yeah.
And they're sitting there, and we saw people in the guest services line. We're not real happy, but that's any cruise. That has nothing to do with MSC. I mean, we don't know what they were upset about, but there's always somebody that thinks something didn't go right. Get things done ahead of time. Go see guest services earlier in the week. Don't wait till the last day of the cruise.
Yeah, just a few final thoughts. I one of the strong points of the ship, I think, was just all the public space on board. It never was crowded. I think all ships should have two buffets, don't you think?
That was nice, and they were open at different times. And so you didn't run into a time where they were having to restock the buffet, that period between lunch and dinner, you know, whatever. It was convenient, too, because one was on a lower level and one was on the higher level. The one that was all the way in the higher level was perfect for all the pools and those activity areas. So you could always find a snack.
He is Randy Warren, Media Director of CruiseX. Randy, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, John. Take care, everybody.
Okay, folks, that's going to do it for this edition of the CruiseX Talk Show. I want to thank my guest, Randy Warren, for joining us. And until we meet again, please be safe and happy cruising.